I think I need the right music. Hang on. That's it.
I'm Gully, host of The Rock Show with Gully and Joe. And you're about to listen to... Little Geek Lost.
Alright, so this is Cyanide again on Little Geek Lost, and I've got another guest, finally got another geek girl on, which I've been trying to get for a while because it's been feeling like a boys' show. So, who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Hadass, and I podcast and I post over on Common Room, but what other things that I do? Like, I love pizza and french fries together.
Nice.
I'm an elitist jerk Harry Potter fan. Like I do all the things you're not supposed to do. Like, I'll quiz you before we chat and I'll judge. So I'll be very upfront. Like, that's my thing that I have to work on fandom.
I'm a late in the game Harry Potter fan. I wasn't that big a fan of it the first time we watched it, but then It was maybe about a year or so ago, I'm like, let's just sit here and watch it back to back. So every night we sat there and watched one Harry Potter movie back to back.
I'm also late in that I was 14 when I saw the movie for the first time and then decided to read the books. So I was, you know, movie first and then reader.
I haven't read the books yet.
I don't know, like, what do you like that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I do.
So I think I am obsessed with it. I wonder if it has to do with the time that I was reading it. Like, I was just starting high school and I was, you know, a little weird and atypical. And I feel like a normal way that I look back at it, I was a child and high school was filled with young adults. Like, and yes. I didn't get there yet. I was still very much a kid for a very long time. So, and Harry Potter was about a kid growing up and I really related to that. What am I saying? Oh, so I'm not even like a huge fantasy person, but this was light enough and accessible enough and fun and interesting and funny that I really enjoyed it. Like, I tried Game of Thrones when the show came out, and I feel like I'm not a high fantasy, middle fantasy. I'm very low or urban fantasy kind of person.
More like mixed with the real world.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like the Game of Thrones show. I tried reading some of the books and I was just like, I can't get into this.
I really couldn't. I feel sad because apparently they're really great, but just not for me, I guess.
So let's talk a little bit about Common Room.
Sure.
I know it's sort of, it's site and there's articles and you got your podcast and sort of a whole mix of things. So
yes.
How did that start and sort of how did it evolve into where it is today?
Okay. It started because I quit my job I quit my job and I planned to focus on school because I was writing my master's thesis in literature and I thought I was going to be a professor. So I thought, okay, let's focus on this and maybe try to get like PhD applications and teaching stuff. But my dean was like, Hadass, I don't know if this is the right road for you. And my classmates and my friends who were in it were like, Hadass, this is such a long, expensive, unpredictable road. Think about whether you really want to do that. And I didn't. So what I really wanted to do with my degree was to like host book clubs and get paid for it. That's what I assumed teaching literature would be like in college. So I said, okay, you know what? I quit my job. A month later, I was so bored. I was like, let's start a blog. And Mandy, I was not good at that because I was all by myself and I would not hold myself accountable to doing anything. So then I remembered that I love podcasts and I tried that and I gathered all sorts of friends I knew from high school, from college, from gaming, from the internet, like all sorts of friends that I thought would be interested. And we started with like 20 people in our Facebook group and then I slowly realized they don't get it or they're not that interested. And you know, it slowly came down to a consistent group. I thought it was going to be just a podcast, but a lot of them said, we want to write. So I was like, okay, cool. Let's do that. Why not? We have a website. We have a WordPress. We're making it like fancy-ish. You know, like we're making a theme. Mm-hmm. So we started doing that. And slowly there were some contributors who were like, Hadass, like we need to do better SEO. We need better pictures. We need to figure this out. And, you know, everyone was pushing me to make it even better, which is wonderful. And this happens every time. Because Common Room is volunteer, members change often.
Yeah.
So every so often, there's a few people in the group who are pushing for it to be better and better. And that's great, because it's hard to lead something like this, because there's like there's that balance of asking people to do things on time in the right way, but also always remembering that we're all doing it for free.
Yeah. So
it's really hard. Yeah, like it's really hard. In the beginning, I just didn't care if anyone did anything. I just wanted to keep them happy, and that didn't work. So now I've slowly become a little bit, I've slowly gotten to the point where I feel I can be firm, but definitely accommodating. It's really hard, really. Like,
yeah, I can imagine trying to wrangle everybody.
It's still very hard for me sometimes, but it's been 2.5 years and I've never learned more. Like, I would never think that doing like literally making my hobby into sort of work, like, you know, movies, books, TV, all this kind of stuff, cooking, has made me learn about leadership and people and introduced me to so many different types of friends. So I'm talking to you about my experience with it. But Common Room has evolved from being more very loose and very fun into continuously striving to be a little bit more professional. Without ruining my life, because it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel that too? Like, you know, like all the ways to make your thing better, but you need the energy to do it.
Yeah. I think that's like, because with my site, Little Geek Lost, started like with just a blog, and then it kind of evolved into a podcast. But even like, you know, trying to keep up with exactly like the effort of trying to like push it, and I'm just doing it myself, and I'm just like, I know where I want it to be and what I want to do with it, but then sometimes it's just like, I don't even want to look at this anymore.
I get that.
And especially since, like, because I work in IT, I'm a computer programmer. I'm on a computer all day, and then it's like at home, and then sometimes I'm just like, I don't even want to do this. And for years I was doing web design and web development, so it's just like, I don't even want to look at my own website anymore.
That's amazing. I'm so jealous.
And I think that's why it's sort of, sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to change the theme again now. And I've gone through like so many different themes for it and stuff. And I get to a point where now I'm like, I'm not going to mess with it anymore. I like how it is. It's working.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not going to keep touching it.
Yeah. Right. Right. For me, it's more like, I don't have the power to do that on my own. So I have to rely on friends who give me great discounts and a lot of patience, because so many of my friends will do it when they can, right? Because they're doing it as a favor to me, and it's wonderful. Sometimes I don't even ask. Sometimes they offer. Like, I explain, how much would this cost? Who should I find? Like, how hard is it? Is it worth it? And they'll be like, you know, I can do that for you next week. And so it's amazing. And that's another thing that I've learned about Common Room. So many of my web friends are so insanely nice. Like, you know, how many people have you met online that you're really great friends with, you've probably never met, you talk on a regular basis, and like, we're so giving to each other.
It's
people who haven't interacted with internet communities would never understand this. Some of my best friendships are from people I met online.
I think it's like, it's weird how that ends up being, where it's just like, you get to be so close and you've like, you know, like you said, you've never met them.
Never met.
And it's like, you form these little communities and groups, and like with your site, you know, you can all have different skills and help each other out with them and build this sort of like online community for it. And, you know, they live all over.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun that way. The website, I have like dream things. Like, sometimes I see things on other websites, I'm like, I like that. I forgot which website I was looking at, but before their article starts, they have like a little animation.
Oh wow, that's so pretty cool.
so cool. So I think it was like a Batman Superman one, and it was like Batman and Superman like animation like fighting each other, and I thought, I love this. I want to keep watching it. Yeah.
So with the podcast, so you said that, you know, it kind of started as a podcast and the site evolved into that. Do you find that, you know, you spend more, or your time is more focused on the podcast or on the site, or is it sort of just kind of all combined into one?
Okay, so like I said about how I'm very careful about making my members like feeling happy. So when they write something, I try my best to focus on editing that and getting that out. And we've been learning slowly with different members and different, what's the word I'm trying to think, like knowledge, you know? Mm-hmm. I've been learning how to make posts better, SEO-wise, photo design-wise. Like, that's our hardest thing because none of us is a... None of us are pros at graphics, so we're really learning about that. And so, yeah, so we try to have everybody do as much as they can to make a post ready, but I'm always, you know, checking it again. Which is, no, it's not, like, I'm not complaining. Like, it's just, it's just what I have to do. So I try to really focus on getting what they have done and worked hard to do out first. Podcasts. Depending on the subject, that's like the next priority. Like, it, like I'm recording a Batman versus Superman episode after I'm done talking with you, and that's gonna have to go out this week because it's like, it's after that note, who's gonna care? So,
yeah.
So that has to get done. Or like when we have themed things, like this is International Women's Month, they're today and tomorrow are the only days, so I have to get those out, or you know, just chill that I didn't. But I try my best with those kinds of things. So it's really more about like, what did other people do that they worked hard on that I need to make sure they feel appreciated for and it gets done? Because, you know, if you give someone a deadline and then you don't meet your own.
Yeah.
That's not,
that's not really fair to them.
No.
So with the podcast, I know you have like different topics, and this month was International Women's Month. And is that like with the different topics and themes, is that something, you know, some things you plan ahead of time, or do other people on the site come to you with ideas? Is there like, you know, like a list that you have stockpiled of like backup plans?
Yeah. So we did Puerto Rico in July, and I've told you, I think I've mentioned I'm a huge fan. So that was like, yeah, I want to do something about that. I have lots to say about that. And a lot of the people in the group I met through Harry Potter and love it as well. So that was an easy idea for us. And it was a week. So that was fun. Then I started to think this was really doing well. Like, it got our name out there. Other people enjoyed participating in it. Let's think of other things that we like, that we're passionate about, because that's the whole thing. We don't cover news. You know, we only cover what we're passionate about. It could be news, but it's never like we have to do something. So we came up with a list, and we tried to plot it out based on, you know, around holidays and busy times and what else is going on pop culture-wise. And then we plotted them out. So like International Women's Month, because it was International Women's Day. Next up is going to be a Star Wars week because, you know, May the 4th. Things like that. And the creative part, like people giving ideas, that's like a struggle we're having now. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think like if it's hard because there's like so many different people with different ideas.
No, that's not the case. Because you're on the like, there's different levels of people's like comfort. Some have anxiety. Some feel like their opinion is not great. You know, so there's like insecurity. Sometimes it's more like just disinterest. You know, some people are just not that interested. They just want to write the thing that they like, and that's it. And they want to go home. Like, you know, so that's the thing where I want to figure out how to make a better creative environment with people who are passionate and excited to pitch things and pitch in, because I think I have good ideas, but I know that they can be 10 times better if other people gave me constructive criticism, gave their own opinions, and we shaped something together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I guess it's got to be hard too when like, you know, you're really passionate about something or the podcast and you're trying to get people involved and they're just kind of like, well, I don't really want to do that, and like trying to find people to mm-hmm. be involved with it.
Right. So I kind of felt like that here with International Women's Month. There was something I was super passionate about and I was going to do it either way because I had enough to write about it and there were enough people to podcast with about topics like that. So that one was one where I feel like the team wasn't so interested, but we made a hybrid attempt. So the team, I asked everyone on the team who was interested and had time to present a recipe from their background. And even if your background is like seventh generation Canadian, it's like you were something before that, for yep. sure. And if you were Native American, cool. So share that. Who knows about that? No one. Yeah. So I asked us to all do that. So we have the team represented in that aspect, which is so fun for me.
Yeah. Because
I don't know other foods at all. So that's like the hybrid. We did that. We did one-on-one interviews and we did some posts about people. So yeah.
Going back to the foods. You yes. mentioned that you liked pizza and fries.
Yes.
In Canada, you can actually get poutine on a pizza.
Really? Like baked in?
Yeah. Like they make it with like the fries and the cheese curds and the gravy on top of a pizza.
The pizza shop. So first of all, I'm saying the pizza shop. Where I live, there are, let me just count the blocks. There's East 15th to East 10th. East 15th to East 11th, which is called Coney Island Avenue. So 15, like 5 blocks. In the 5 blocks, there are 5 pizza shops.
Wow.
So the one that I like the most, they've noticed that the kids, like, because there's a high school nearby, so that the kids always put the pizza on, put the french fries on the pizza, so they started making it baked in.
Oh, nice.
And another one copied it. Like, they, and then they decided to make, like, ziti pizza, oh, like, wow. like, fake ziti in it. Yeah, like, it's nuts.
I know, at Boston, well, we have a restaurant, Boston Pizza, here in Canada, yeah. and it's kind of just like, you know, a pasta run, like an Applebee's type of restaurant. And okay. you can get pierogi pizza.
Interesting.
And it, so it's got, it actually has like sour cream on it, and then like the cheesy potatoes. I don't think it has the pasta on it though, like the dough.
Uh-huh. I guess I think
they
make
it like yeah. the pizza dough, like the dough. And then they put like sour cream and chives and like cheesy potatoes on it. Yeah, but not folded in. Cool. Like an actual pizza.
That's cool.
They have calzone ones too.
When I worked at a dentist, I don't know why I'm telling you this. When I had a job a few years ago, they would always order this like from this like nature place, and they would order this black bean pizza.
Oh wow.
And my stomach is rumbling. It was so delicious, and I think they closed. So I'm like trying to figure out like how could I make that at home, because that was so delicious.
I like kind of go for the pierogi ones because food with International Women's Month. That's my background is Ukrainian.
Nice.
So the pierogies and cabbage rolls and all that I grew up with.
Yeah, I think every I always get the words wrong. Every ethnicity, every nationality. Everyone has something yeah. like a pierogi. Like,
yeah,
I'm Israeli, and we have, and I think this is also like a Middle Eastern, probably, we have burekas. So, you know, it's a puff pastry and filled with something.
Oh, yeah.
The Syrian Jews have something called sambusak, which is a thicker dough filled with stuff. The Indians have, they have, I forgot what it's called, but they also have something like that that's filled in.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And then there's like in China, they have their dumplings.
Dumplings, and, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like almost every culture wants to take dough and put something in it.
Yeah, I love dough. I love starch. I'm all about that.
I love sandwiches. One of my favorites is I make spaghetti sandwiches.
What? Tell me that.
Especially like with, it's better with leftover spaghetti, and then you just put it like between toast, and it's really good.
Is it cold?
You can heat it up. I heat it up. Same with like if I'm making like Chef Boyardee, I'll make toast with it. And even if it's like ravioli, I'll put it on the toast. It's really good.
I love toasted bread. I love toast with cream cheese. Nothing else has to be on it. It's just like the perfect mix. And I also like beans on toast.
That sounds good.
And that I learned from how to, what is it called? A Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
I never tried that until I saw that movie.
One thing that my friend and I used to make since we were kids, and I've seen a bit on the internet, but I've never heard of other people doing it, is peanut butter and pickles sandwiches.
What?
Yeah. And I love telling people that because they're always like exactly like that. They're like, what? Weirded out by it. But okay. I've actually like searched and it's a thing online that other people make. So we're not just the two weird kids who made it.
Well, let's see if what I like weirds you out. I like to put potato chips on everything. So if I'm eating ice cream, got to dip a potato chip in there. If I have a sandwich, I put potato chips on, like if I have toast with cream cheese, I'll put potato chips on top. If I'm eating a salad, I put potato chips inside because you need the crunch.
That sounds good to me.
It's so good. Because I like the salty and I like the crunch and I like the fried. So
that sounds good to me.
Very healthy.
The pizza place here that's actually like in this little mini mall by my house makes funnel cake fries. And they actually make like funnel cake into fries and make them there. And so every time I go to the grocery store, which is right beside it, I can smell as deep fried from the restaurant. And it just makes me want them every single day.
Yeah, that's so hard.
Good, though.
The Subway in New York, always, like it doesn't matter what stop I'm at, there's a fast food restaurant right above the stop. So whenever like I'm having a long day and I come home, I'm like, I think I want fries. Like, I don't know why.
They're just everywhere.
They really are.
The funnel cake ones are really good because they're actually still like crunchy and deep fried and they stay that way. But it's like this huge box for like, I think it's like $6. But it's like a really big box, like more than, you know, one person should be eating. But it's really good.
What's your favorite kind of French fry?
I definitely, being Canadian, I have the thicker cut and definitely with like poutine on it, but... Like, I think I like the thicker cut. KFC, I don't know if they changed it in the States, but here they changed their fries, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. And they used to be more, like, thicker home-style fries, and now they're, like, these little skinny things, kind of like McDonald's fries.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not that good anymore. I prefer, like, the thicker ones.
I like that, like, they're medium, and they have, like, some sort of coating, like a crunchy coat, like maybe that's the salt, so it's super crunchy on the outside, but when you bite it, it's soft, like, you know, it's like good mushy
those
potato
ones are really good.
The best, love it.
Yeah. McDonald's changed their stuff too. Their fries aren't as good anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it because they changed their oil in Canada.
I heard that the whole thing with the McDonald's fries was that it's double fried, or like it's using the oil from the meat or something.
Yeah, they changed like it too to be like the non-trans fat whatever one. So they taste like worse now. They don't taste as good anymore.
They taste healthy.
Yeah. They taste like healthy fries. And actually, speaking of fast food, I was so stoked because we see all these commercials for Burger King and for their hot dogs, and I go to the one here and they're like, nope, that's only in the States.
Aww.
We can't get the new grilled hot dogs. I'm like, that's crap. I'm already here. I want hot dogs. Because we kept seeing them, and my husband and I are like, we want those hot dogs. We want to get them. So I'm like, oh, I'll go there for lunch and pick us up hot dogs. And they're like, nope, that's only in America.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I keep kosher. So many commercials look amazing to me, and I can't eat it.
Yeah,
so
I guess that'd be pretty hard.
And, like, the most random things, Mandy, like, the stupidest things. Like, Quiznos, like, I can have a baguette somewhere else. Like, I don't need to have that one, but it just looks so good. Or, like, Boston Market used to have these commercials with the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what. It just looked amazing. It's like the stupidest thing.
You can just go there and smell it.
When I used to go to the mall, we have one mall in Brooklyn. Like, Brooklyn's not a mall-y place. So there's one mall, and we used to go there a lot when I was younger. I don't know why. Maybe because we went to the movie theater there. And there's like all the smells from the food court area. Oh, yeah. So that would be hard.
Yeah. I imagine that would be pretty difficult. So getting back to podcasts.
Yeah, sure.
Or we could keep talking about food.
You can please rein me and I will go in so many directions.
Well, it's funny because like it's probably about a month or so ago, these American guys that I talked to that, with their podcast, I sent them a bunch of Canadian snacks. And one thing that they were all surprised about is the ketchup chips, because I know that's something you can't get in the States. So
is it Heinz? Is it Hers? Like Hers used to have her, the chip brand, used to have ketchup chips. What are you talking about?
It's kind of like, I guess it'd probably be the same thing. But I mean, we have Old Dutch up here, and Ruffles has them too. And it's like, it tastes like you put ketchup on chips.
I have some Canadian friends from Warcraft, and they used to love talking about Crispers.
Yep, they're like crackers, but with like chip flavoring on them, so you can get like ranch, especially the ranch ones. Ah. They're the best ones. And then the other chips is All Dressed chips, which has like all the flavors, all the seasonings on them.
That sounds good.
They are really good. You should send me your address and I will send you some. Since you like potato chips so much.
Sure. I will give it to you after the recording, just in case.
Not on the air, but no. I'll send you some chips.
Hadass Brooklyn. That works.
Yeah. For Mandy in Canada.
When I was little, oh my gosh, did you ever do like really silly things when you were little? Well,
always.
That's a stupid question.
Everyone. But,
when I was little, two things. I wrote a letter to the pet shop. I wrote pet shop on the envelope. And inside I wrote, I would like 4 dogs, 3 cats, 2 parrots, and 1 fish. And I put it in and I went to my mother. I was like, Ema, can you send this? And you're like, sure. And then years later, I found it in our stationery drawer. And I'm like, Ema, you never sent it to the pet shop. But it's such a great memory that she kept it for me. And then when I was 9, like the day before I turned 10, such good timing, the internet was just starting up. I found Leonardo DiCaprio, like I found an address for Leonardo DiCaprio fan mail. Who knows who I sent that to? And I said, can you please come to my dinner?
Aw.
He didn't come, Mandy.
With that, I found Adam West's address. And he can send him anything, and he'll actually send it back autographed.
That's
so
nice.
So I got this awesome picture, and it's got, I mean, like a collage. So it's got like him as Batman, him as just like Bruce Wayne. It's got animated him from Family Guy where it says like Adam Wee on the light bright. And he actually like signed it and sent it back, and it were like BAM and Hi Mandy on it.
That's really cute.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
In school, did they make you send a letter to the Prime Minister?
Yeah, I think we had to do that for a while. We had to actually do these weird ones in history class where it was like we had to write a letter to like pioneers back, like what our life was like in Canada or something like that back then.
That's really cute.
I don't know what they actually did with them all.
We, in fourth grade, so my family is a family of immigrants. We were, well, all of us except my father were born in Israel. My father was born in Yemen. And he came to Israel when he was 4. So just talking,
pretty close.
Giving you all the details. So in fourth grade, we were supposed to write a letter to the president, and that was President Clinton at the time. And my father called the White House, like, you can do that. I never knew that that was like a thing you could do. And he asked if there's a specific way that you address the president. And he said that they laughed at him. I remember this story, Mandy. Like, I remember seeing him. And, like, he got upset. Like, that's so rude. Like, why would they do that to him?
That's
and
pretty mean. Up.
And we wrote it on, like, nice stationery. And my father's a computer guy. So he like, put in, like, a clip art of something. Girl. Like, in the... Like, he made it so nice, but I missed the deadline.
Aw.
And everyone got back a signed picture of the president.
Oh, wow.
Like they sent a bunch over to the class. Mm-hmm. And I was so upset. I remember being like, oh, man, like, we put so much effort into it, and I'll get you next time.
Imagine that would be like now with our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, I feel like he's probably getting lots of... He probably has Twitter, right?
I think he probably does. I don't know. I imagine he would.
Yeah. Probably gets lots of flirty tweets.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, they keep dragging out pictures of him, like, shirtless, like, boxing and stuff.
There's one just today that he's, like, I don't even know what the word for it is. He's like doing a push-up, but...
Oh, yeah, that, like...
His whole body, like a head, like a handstand or
something? Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's definitely different having a really young prime minister like that.
Sorry to take us off track again.
That's okay. That's what my podcast is. It's very random. And that's actually a tagline. Well, this will come out after the other one goes up. Figure out chronologically here. But on the next pod, which will be before this one, I'm changing my tagline to Random Geek Adventures. So
nice.
It'll be fitting. So by the time this comes out, it's already Random Geek Adventures.
It's very appropriate. Yeah.
Exactly. It's very random. So I know we talked a little bit before we started recording about podcast horror stories. And I mentioned how, and I've mentioned a few times on my pod already about how I lost like a whole recording with a band, and it was just like super painful. And I remember like, you know, panicking afterwards, looking all over in the temporary folders and just anywhere I could think of. I'm like, it has to be there somewhere. And so since then, I'm always like super sure. I do like a few of the Echo Skype calls beforehand, make sure it records, like watch my computer every few seconds and make sure it's actually going still. Do you have any podcast horror stories from recording?
Yes, I do. So we do, Common Room does a combo with the IGPPC, where we do like rewatches of 90s kind of teeny shows. So we were doing one about Roswell, and it was season 3, and we finally got everyone who wanted to participate on that ep. And it was really such a fun ep, and we did like predictions, like what would happen now. It was just such a great app. One person's recording was, I forgot what the word is, but like it was garbled. It didn't work. And her project also wouldn't resave it, you know? So it wasn't just the file, it was also the project. So that was gone. Then another person, but she said, I think like she was like, I'll be willing to fill in my thoughts if I, you know, I need to re-record. Then another one had it on her phone, but then she got a new phone, and she didn't send it to me before that. So that was such a sad thing, because it was just so good. Another time, it was Potter Week, and so now everyone who wants to check back, you can check back and let me know if I did it well. The first episode that came out during Potter Week, my sound, I accidentally used headphones where the mic wasn't working, so it recorded from my computer and caught my fan.
Oh, wow.
And I really didn't want the first episode of Potter Week to be such bad quality, so I sat there and re-recorded myself throughout the whole thing with all, like, the enthusiasm and the laughter and the same jokes because I had the file. But, like, I re-recorded. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine how heartbreaking that must have been to have to sit there and go through it all.
I think it's like a very perfectionist kind of thing, but whatever. It's over now.
I know I used to have problems on my old laptop where Skype would either disconnect or drop calls, and it ended up being like, you know, 2 or 3 recordings that I'd have to sit there and piece together, and it would... Because it would never do it at a good time, right? So it's never like at a pause. It's always halfway through a sentence. And it always ended up being when I was talking to my British friend. So I'd have to be like, okay, can you start over where you were? And he'd like try and think back to what he was saying at the time.
Yeah.
So we could kind of like somewhat splice it together at the end. So I'm happy now that I haven't had that problem in a long time where it's, you know, I have to piece several together.
Yeah, and since like these things have happened, I've discovered new tools and all sorts of ways to help. It's so funny when you're piecing together, right, that you have to match your energy.
Yeah.
So it's like you could be saying like, and I was reading the paper, and then it was just ended. You're like, ugh, no, that doesn't match. I have to try again.
Yeah. I know when I'm recording with my friend, who's been, you know, my BFF since we were like 3 years old, that it's... Usually I end up having to like either pause halfway through because we're laughing too much, or like make a note that there's like a lot of stuff I need to end up cutting out because we'll just be saying shit back and forth
like
to each
really
other.
Personal stuff.
Personal stuff, or like mentioning people by name. I'm like, no, that's gonna need to be cut out there. Otherwise now I don't really edit that much in mine. It's usually kind of like, you know, the beginning and then good to go, and like I may edit out like the pauses if there's long pauses, or increase sound or decrease sound, but otherwise it's like pretty much everything stays in.
Nice.
Good to go. So I've kind of got that down now, but...
Now I'm very worried. I have to be very careful about what I say.
No, like, I'd make a note if there was something that needed to come out, but... It's not that often anymore. It's usually just sort of as it goes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which makes it a bit easier and, you know, kind of trying to stick to, like, a timeline and stuff. I know it used to be bad for when I talked to the people in England, and it'd be like a 3-hour conversation. So I have a couple podcasts where I've had to split it into two because I'm like, I'm not putting up a 3-hour podcast. No one's going to listen to that. So I've had to actually split it down. And I actually was just listening to that one of yours today.
Where you were mentioned
with what was her name? I can't remember her name offhand, but it was...
Oh, Elle Hoffer Design?
Yes, yeah. Where you were even saying, like, even after you finished the recording, you were still talking.
We talked for 3 hours. It's so funny because she's, like, a celebrity in, you know, in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, she's big-time designer, and a lot of her friends are nerd people. So Debbie and I... So I told Debbie, I was like, hey, Debbie, do you want to write about your experience with buying the dress and getting it made and stuff and about Catherine and her designs? Because she's pretty cool and she was like just becoming super popular. So then I said, wait a second, we have a podcast. Let's just ask her if she wants to be on the podcast. I don't see anyone else has done that and that could be so fun. And we were like nervous, like, oh my gosh, like it's professional. And she was so fun. She was just so normal nerd.
Yeah, it was a really great one to listen to.
It was a lot of fun to talk to her. She's just so real. It's so nice.
But yeah,
thank you for saying that.
I definitely understand that because, like I said, I've, you know, had 3-hour ones myself. And I'm like, oh. And then to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to edit this. Like, I just want to cut it and go. Because, I mean, editing takes like 3 times as long as it takes
really
to record.
It really does.
And the people that, you know... Are the listeners maybe don't always understand that about podcasts and doing it weekly, it does take up a lot of time because you think even if you record for an hour, so that's an hour of recording, and then you take 3 times as long to edit, and you have to, like, you know, throw in like intros or any like other promotions or things you think of after the fact that need to be go in there, and uploading all of that, like it
writing
does,
show notes,
exactly,
putting a picture,
it does take a lot of time. Goes into it more than just, you know, the half hour or an hour that you get to listen to at the end. It is a whole process.
And also it takes energy to record, like I'm recording with you now, and sometimes I do this where I on Sundays we usually record and I record 3 episodes because I'm thinking, okay, let's just get this out of the way and then I can chill. But by the second half of the second episode, I'm already like running out of steam because, as you can tell, I talk a lot. I'm usually leading conversation. So it's just like at a certain point, it's so silly, but talking becomes exhausting.
Yes. Oh, definitely. And even just trying to, like, you know, wrangle everybody together to make sure things, you know, on schedule and booking people in. Like with me, I'm trying to book people now so I can consistently get, you know, on a schedule and everything, and so it's almost like 2 a week it ends up being. I'm like, okay, I gotta figure out what days people can do and time zones are a pain. Which is nice that you're in the same time zone, so that works out. Not many of mine are, so especially like doing with people in England with 5-hour differences, a real pain. Usually ends up being like I'll get up at like 8 or 9 on a Saturday to record just so it's, you know, daytime for them.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely a fun adventure, podcasting.
It really is. It's so much fun. Have you always been into them? Like, when did you start getting into podcasts?
I started my blog and then I kind of started listening to some, and it was mainly like the ones on the Nerdist Network that I was listening to, and I'm kind of like thinking, like, well, I could turn my blog into a podcast, and I'm starting to see a lot more of them. And so that was like, it was about 2 years ago, even though I only got, you know, 30 something episodes at this point. It was, you know, started out sporadically, so it'd be like 1 a month or 2 a month or whenever I got to them. But yeah, it started off like, you know, other people are doing this, I can do this too, maybe I'll get into, you know, this hobby and kind of associate it with my blog, and ideas that, you know, may not fit with a blog post, it would fit more with a podcast, and being able to talk to people and, you know, have a conversation with them and post that up. And I always find, though, like, I never really knew, like, if anyone's listening for, like, so long. I'm like, I don't even know if anyone's even listening to my podcast.
Wait, you don't have stats?
Well, I have stats, but, like, you know, they're not very, well, iTunes and on my site and all that. And, like, yeah, there's downloads and stuff, but
yeah,
I'd never really get feedback from anyone.
Right. So I'm in the same boat there.
I don't know if they're just downloading it and
yeah,
not listening to it or what's going on.
But it's now so
it's started to pick up a bit this year, and I think it, you know, planning to do it out weekly has really helped, and having, you know, a set schedule for it rather than sporadically. So now I can actually get, like, feedback from people, and anytime someone comments on Twitter and they're, like, you know, almost live tweeting as they're listening to it, I just think it's awesome to see.
I'm so jealous. Our downloads are rising and rising and rising, and the feedback is static. Like, it hasn't, like, I haven't received feedback in such a long time, and that's so weird to me. Like,
yeah.
Like, why are the downloads rising but no one's telling me anything?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just, like, it takes extra effort.
It really does. I get that, you know?
But I mean, like, it's not hard to just be, like, throw a little tweet out, be like, hey, like the show this week, you know?
Yeah.
Some kind of comment.
There's, like, that's another thing that we're working on is, there's a lot of podcasts that we like that have an interactive element.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you do that, like, everyone knows this, is that you cheat. At first, you start the interactive element and you get your friends to respond. That encourages strangers to respond.
Yeah.
But you have to encourage your friends to consistently respond. And that's just another level of energy I don't have right now. I'm working on getting everything out and doing it, running after people for other. It's just like I'm not.
It's a lot.
Ready. Yeah. So right now I'm just happy with having fun conversations with people about things that I'm interested in. And sending it out.
Well, I think, like, you know, having the site too, with the articles and everything, and it all being sort of like one unit almost, you have that little bit of interaction. You know, you may get more interaction on an article or on a podcast or,
it's a lot easier to skim.
Yeah, to, like, put it out that way too. And I think that's probably, like, you know, a good focus too, because I imagine there's some topics that work better as an article and other ones that work better as a podcast, and being able to switch it up is probably pretty good for your site too, and you get a lot more interaction that way, maybe. I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's also, like, a work in progress, like outreach and maintaining friendships and partnerships and, you know, getting the word out there on the posts. So it's like so many different levels for a hobby. Something that's not your job.
Yeah, exactly. I think that too, like, it's hard trying to crack that internet code that what is it that people focus on, and, you know, everyone always talks about all the viral videos and you know, trying to figure that out, but it's the same with podcasts or with articles. Like, you can never really know what's going to spark someone or, you know, spark a conversation, and trying to, like, cover all your topics and cover, like, you know, especially with movies coming out, with Star Wars and the new Batman versus Superman, and trying to, like, stay on top of those. But, you know, you never really know if anyone's going to pay attention to yours in the pile is what I'm finding
with mine.
Like, it's just trying to stay on top of things and trying to get people's attention. I know I have a hard time with, and I never, like I said, I never really know if anyone's even listening or paying attention.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I end up doing it for myself, so.
I agree. I think we have to. You know, we have to remind ourselves that it's really fun for us. It's a lot of hard work, but we enjoy it most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we would be lying if we enjoyed every bit of work.
Oh, yeah.
No one does. No one enjoys everything in their life. No one does, even the things that they love the most.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really have stopped worrying. Not stopped. I've stopped, like, being really sad about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a goal for me. My number one goal is interaction. Like, the reason why it's a podcast is because I love to talk to people, with people.
Yeah.
And I'd like that to continue with people who aren't being recorded. So that's really the goal there. And it's also, like, what kind of audience do you want to attract? So, like, the Mary Sue has, I think you can pitch stories to the Mary Sue, but if I did that, I would be so scared of the Mary Sue's commenters, because they are fierce.
Yes.
So it's like, who's nicer, like, that I would want to attract. So there's all these different layers. And you know, I feel like we're learning so much about these technical things, mm-hmm. but also about, like, politics and nuance, right? Like,
yep.
you realize that if you put, like, a really SEO kind of article and you put a clickbaity headline and a really great photo that's, like, interesting, even if it's, like, irrelevant or maybe provocative or something, you may get a lot of views.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of us, and that's why we're small time, stick to the things that we like and don't want to impress or make other people happy.
Yeah.
So I always feel like, Hadass, you're such an idiot. Like, oh, you think you're so great. You're gonna do the things that you think are right and not going to try too hard to, like, please others and follow the rules that make people successful. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Who cares? Like, so what? If no one comments on my podcast, I'm not trying to be something I'm not.
Well, yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're not making it for those people, right? I mean,
exactly.
You're making it for the people that are going to be the ones that comment or the ones that listen and don't comment,
right?
But are, like, paying attention, the ones that are interested in the same topics. And, you know, it's definitely a hard process I've learned, you know, trying to figure out what topics to cover and, you know, what is going to get people's attention. But like you said, you don't want to necessarily do something that's just, you know, for the sake of attention to get downloads or to get hits or, you know, impressions on your website. You want to do something that's your heart is in more, I think.
It's funny because I'm super amused. Like, I'm easily amused. So I was thinking about this Batman versus Superman, even Star Wars. There's so many different areas that I want to write about. Like, we did a poll about which one we like most, and I want to write about that and, like, make a cute infographic. And that could be really fluffy, right? Like, that could be, like, a really fluffy post. But I do have something to say, and I am interested in saying that. I also want to talk about the soundtrack because I love soundtracks. But then it seems like, oh, like, she's writing 5 different articles about Batman versus Superman because it just came out, and it's hot. So it's also, like, I want the perception to be correct as well. It's so, I feel really silly talking about this because it's just a hobby.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's
I
just
put a lot of thought in it.
I mean, it's the same with me and my side. You know, I'm trying to sit there and work on my brand and, you know, gets up there and it's a hobby. I'm not making any money on it. You know, most podcasters don't
exactly
make money on your podcast. It's just something to do. But I think that, like, I think that if your heart's not in it, then the listeners will know. They'd know, and you'd probably, you know, you may get attention for one article or one podcast, but it won't be lasting. They'd see through it.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think anyways.
Good pep talk.
So, do you have any advice for anyone starting out a podcast?
Okay, here's my secret tip. Don't buy a mic. You don't need one. If you have smartphone headphones and you're careful, I mean, I really hope that this sounds good and then I don't make like a fool out of myself. If you put your hair away and you don't let it touch like a sweater, it's so flawless. It doesn't have that radio sound, as you'll hear, like, my voice probably. It doesn't have that, like, NPR kind of sound, like, atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to pay for anything to start this podcast. I had a software on my computer. I had these headphones that came with my phone, and I'm set. All I had to pay for was hosting. They say, like, all the guides say, wait 7 to 14 episodes before you decide to buy a mic.
Mm-hmm.
Go for that. I mean, but I never had to, and I'm so happy.
I have to agree. I use a gaming headset. I have a Razer headset with a microphone on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the reason I bought it is because I can do more than one thing with it. It's not just a stationary mic. And I just like having, again, you know, the headset with the mic in my face kind of thing.
Yeah.
And because I tend to move around a lot, I don't have to worry about being close to, you know, a stationary mic on a desk or anything like that. So, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth with that on my own. Like, do I want to get, you know, a more professional microphone? But, I mean, I paid, you know, $200 for my gaming headset, and I like it. It looks like a big helicopter pilot headset, but I like it. It's comfortable, and, you know, I think that that's definitely a good tip. Is, you know, people think that you may need like this professional mic or a mixing board
and a setup, or, yeah.
Yeah, you know, something like that. And
to soundproof. You don't need to soundproof. No. Like, what's no. going on?
Yeah. Where are you? Or it's that noisy.
And you know what? I kind of like it sometimes where I'm recording and I hear like a siren in the background. I'm like, ooh, New York.
No, I may have like my cat wandering and start meowing at me. You know, it's life. It's real life. Things happen. So yeah,
that's like a technical one. But on the other side, what Mandy said, if you're not passionate about something, don't continue doing it and only do what you're interested in. And don't even feel like we are, like Mandy and I are saying, like we want to set a schedule and we mm-hmm. really want to hold ourselves to a higher standard. But if you're just starting out, get the feel of everything and take your time. And I feel like both of us are at a point where we have a routine, like we know all the tricks already, so we feel comfortable doing a lot.
Yeah.
But it took some time to get there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It does take time, and it takes, you know, focus to do it. And if you don't have the focus and the heart to actually do it or talk about the topic you're talking about, then don't waste your time doing it. I think, like,
yeah.
you know, find something that you are interested in, not doing it because that's what, you know, everyone else is doing. You know, if there's like 100 podcasts on movie reviews, don't just think you have to do one on movie reviews because everyone else is. Find what you want to do it on.
But also don't be scared to do that, because I always think about this because I am doing something that's super popular. I mean, I try my best. I really try. If I'm doing a review about something, I try not to just have it a review. Try to have specific questions in mind that, you know, put a spin on something. But I'm not so worried, you know. Like, I don't think that mine is going to come out on top. I'm mostly doing it because I want to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe someone will find that they like that. Also, Rosa, if you guys know Rosa, she's an Eagle. She's the website Gingerbread Sagas. And she was telling me when we started Charm Bomb, which is, we're still working on it, that it doesn't matter what the topic is if people like the hosts.
Yes.
So if people like you, and don't worry about that too much either, but once people get to know you and they like you, they'll listen to you talking about wine bottle shapes. Yep. Like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think so.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, and if anyone's sitting there thinking about starting a podcast and they may be worried or scared to do it, just do it. Because, I mean, the worst that can happen is no one listens. But you know, like,
write to us and we will listen.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, I was gonna say, like, even at the end of the day, that's not a big deal, because it's, you know, it's like they say, if you're scared about asking someone out, the worst they can say is no. Like, it's not the end of the world, you know. And if you're doing it for you, then, you know, it's something that you're doing as your hobby, and if you're passionate about it, and, you know, that's something that you want to do, go for it.
What did you so I was telling in the beginning, you asked me and I was sharing some things that I learned that I really never thought I would learn. Did you learn anything throughout this process that you were like, how did I even get here?
I think that, like, having the more focus, you know, having ADD and being hard to focus on something mm-hmm. for a long period of time, where my interest sort of just kind of fades off after a while, and knowing myself and knowing that I have to do this and I have to schedule it, otherwise I won't do it, kind of thing.
Okay.
So, like, learning that, you know, if I am going to do this weekly and kind of make that plan and set that goal, then I need to actually sit there and book guests or have topics or, you know, something to fill in, and to actually sit there and do it. And I think having those few episodes in the queue, speaking back to microphones, when I do with a few of my filler ones, I'll just take my phone and sit in my car and record mm-hmm. on my phone, and it sounds the same as recording with a headset or a microphone. And having those few in there makes it a bit easier to do it weekly, because if I don't have a guest, or, you know, if something comes up where I don't have time to record, then I know that I always have a few of those that I can
something.
Just post, and, you know, then it's done, and I can have that set schedule and not be worried about, okay, well, I said I'm going to do weekly, but then something comes up and I can't get to it this week, kind of thing, and feeling bad,
right.
You know, that something is going to happen, you know, there's not going to be a podcast that week. So I think that that's what I've learned in the process, is just to try and be more focused, knowing myself, where I won't do it if I'm not focused on it.
No, that's
because,
great.
Because, you know, with me, I'm by myself. At the end of the day, I'm only accountable to myself. So
yes.
I don't have anyone sitting there and be like, hey, you need to post this.
I haven't learned that yet. That's why I podcast with other people. They hold me accountable. That's why Common Room is with other people, because they hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so further advice, guys. We learn stuff we never anticipated to learn. Find out what you're going to learn from starting any new project.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd say, you know, if there's, even if it's like a blog, podcast, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to try and do it. Especially in today's internet age. And
yeah, we're so lucky.
There, like, you find anything you want on the internet and anything you want to write about, there will be someone to read it or listen to it. So, where can people find you online? Find your podcast, find your site?
Sure. So, Common Room is comrom.co, comrom.co. And all of our social handles are at comrom.co. And my handles are at hadsterific, but that's hard to spell. It'll probably be in the show notes.
Yes, it will be for people.
But it's hard to spell, so just go to comrom.co and I'm there.
And they can read your great articles and listen to the podcast episodes and
thank you, Mandy.
Catch up on all that. Well, I definitely, like I said, I'm definitely a fan and I've been reading it, listening to the podcast, and especially being part of the whole Eagle Network. And
I like that, Eagle Network. We should get that started.
There you go. Well, thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for having me, Mandy.
It's great to network and get our social networking out there.
Yeah, and it's really nice to talk about things like this. You know, we probably never talk about this on our shows, right?
Yeah.
Like, we talk about other stuff. This is really nice to talk to someone who gets it and just to have like a little sesh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, I will talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Little Geek Lost. Hope you enjoyed this week's show. You can find me on littlegeeklost.com, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Geek Life Radio. New episodes come out every Monday. And of course, you can find me on the Men Rule Network at menrule.net.